This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Morning, Radio AM. Today is Wednesday, March 4th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. And once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host today. Today's going to be an open line Wednesday. That means you can call in and talk about whatever you want to talk about, and I can see if I can at least respond to whatever you say. Of course, we can talk about what is trending in social media, what people are talking about. And of course, as usual, I have one or two things I want to basically goad you toward in terms of having this conversation. I want to talk about independent candidates and their role inside this election. I hinted towards it. Of course, I mentioned Dr. Minnis yesterday and his platform promoting independent candidates and why the Bahamian public should vote for them. I want to talk specifically about the Kalani constituency. I'm going to call one or two other constituency because Fox Hill is hot. You know, I live in Fox Hill. And tomorrow is hot dog day, Angus beef. I mean, everybody who likes hot dog is just as crowd Fox Hill Road proper and stop on the side of the road to get free hot dogs, I think, from this place. I'm not sure what that's all about, but people who knows that Thursdays is Angus beef. Everybody getting hot dog in foot. I just can't. But continuing. Right. I want to know the role of independent candidates. I see there is a rumor going Adrian Gibson. There's a lot of paraphernalia, a lot of memes about him suggesting that he will run as an independent and leave and abandon his F&M party. I'm not sure if that's true. But like I said, yesterday, coming on today, this morning, the timeline in terms of social media is flooded with Adrian Gibson independent paraphernalia. So I'm waiting to see if that anything official is going to be said about it. I see the leader of the opposition mentioned it, or at least the media asked him, what about Adrian Gibson? And he said he will talk to his colleague and see what are the facts. So I guess that too means that he was caught off guard, because I was caught off guard. I thought Mr. Gibson was still dealing with a court case. I did not know that he had ambition to continue it. I thought he was focused. Let's deal with this thing. But it is interesting. So I want to know, to the listening audience, what is your opinion about an Adrian Gibson running as an independent, possibly an independent, in Long Island, right? I'm going to call one or two constituencies also, like I said, and so we could talk about how close those impact or the race is going to be. Kalani has, of course, Dr. Hubert Minnis. He's running as independent. He has been having a modern campaign, what I call a celebrity type of campaign. They have softened him a lot. Whoever is his publicist is doing an awesome job. Photo shoots, videos, memes, video commercials like galore, all through social media. He has launched a social media and a tour campaign. Then we have Robin Lines, right? Look how I can forget the people's name. Just because I'm looking at the people's name, I'm going to forget. Is also launching a campaign. I'm assuming her claim to fame is that she believes, or the PLP believes, that there's going to be a split in the F&M vote. And because there's going to be a split, that she will become the victor. Just of that. We shall watch and see. Of course, it's Dr. MacIver. She has a staple, a stance in the community where she lives, where her family has property. People know her, strong woman. She's been campaigning for a while, right? She has a following. I think that following will turn out to be about maybe 5 to 6 to 10%. That means to me, Dr. MacIver, even if she does not win, and I can put speak life into her campaign that, yes, she could win. But even if she does not win, she's definitely going to be a spoiler for being there. So she will impact whoever wins there. And, of course, they have the FNM candidate, Miss Barnett Ellis, Michaela Barnett Ellis, who is hoping that the FNMs will return home, right? I think that she Lines and MacGyver will split the women vote. Women are very active in that constituency. These are educated, professional women, forward-thinking women who are liberalists, who tend to support other women, right? But they have three women to support. I think it's going to be a great divide in that. But I'm going to be talking about constituencies. What are the top constituencies that we should be watching, looking at? What we do not know would be the final outcome. Let's talk about Fox Hill, because I live Fox Hill. There has this, the singer, Bobby Brown, is running for the COI. He is a Fox Hillian. I think that he can secure about 100 votes. Some people say that's insignificant, right? But if it's going to be a close vote race, and he can secure definitely 100 votes, that could be problematic for a person. Then, of course, the two front runners. Of course, the premier front runner is Fred Mitchell. He's a long-standing person there. He has his boots on the ground. He has a strong presence on the ground. But there are a number of people who say they're frustrated. They are saying, man, Fred Mitchell is a senior gentleman, and that when you turn senior, sometimes you need to relax and put people forward. Then there is the Dr. Fox, who tend to have entertainment, right? Definitely, he has drawn the attention of in terms of his antics. I'm using the word antics. I'm not sure what he has put forward in terms of any plans for Fox Hill. I don't see it. But in terms of drawing attention from Fox Hillian, he has that. People are saying that it's going to be a close race. He's saying it's going to be a close race. And that Mr. Mitchell should not be too comfortable with this race. And so those are the things I want to talk about today. And of course, like I said, it's an open line Wednesday. So if whatever you want to talk about, we could talk about the Grand Bahama. We could talk about the Bend and Break speech. I had to educate a good German yesterday to understand what happened that not so long ago. And they created a whole new false narrative. I see that our prime minister is echoing that theme, that Bend and Break, in terms of the ruling or the conclusion of the arbitration between the Grand Bahama Port Authority and the Bahamas government. Being Bahamian, seeing how Grand Bahama is right now, I have no other choice but to support the government. The Port Authority needs to do more. It's plain and simple. You can't continue how it's continuing. I see a number of people are celebrating the loss. Of course, the government said they didn't lose anything. Or the decision that the government doesn't have that $350 million. But imagine what could have happened if we did get the $350 million. They spend it on flights. Anyway, let's go to the call. Guardian Radio AM. This is C.A. Nuri. We have an open line Wednesday today. We're talking about particularly constituencies that should be close, that we should be watching, right? We're going to talk about Long Island, and also I'm going to call those candidates' names shortly. But go ahead, caller.
Good day. How y'all doing, man?
I'm doing well, man. How are you doing today?
Man, I'm super. I'm doing always super. I'm actually a Freeportian, but I reside in the New Providence, but definitely I'm happy to understand some of the things that have fundamentally happened and some of the ruling. Let me just go over one or two quick things that I noticed in that. There were basically six fundamental things that the Port Authority was trying to put forward in relation to not only the $357 million, but one of the fundamental things they were talking about was whether or not the government had the power to control licensing procedures, immigration applications and permits, and how the length of time in which those are done, whether or not they can, they can have access to dealing with that directly there in Grand Bahama. Customs duty exemption on tariffs, basically. The majority of Bahamians don't really understand the Hawksbow Creek Agreement. One of the fundamental things of the benefits of the Hawksbow Creek Agreement for those who do business in Freeport is the ability to bring in items specifically for business duty free, but we have abused that severely in Grand Bahama. We have to the point where people are bringing in TVs and computers and all kinds of other things. And I think that is one of the things that I feel is going to be very, very looked at based on the government aspect. The other thing was the utilities. They were stating that they weren't, the government didn't have the right to regulate any forms of utilities in Grand Bahama. One of their biggest issues was with IRCA. We understand that that was thrown out, and where the port literally can maneuver themselves throughout Grand Bahama, declaring, okay, this is a port area, this is not a port area, or we can work, you know, back and forth in relation to that. That was also thrown out. One of the other things I felt that the government, they felt that the government was actually speaking and diverting investments from Grand Bahama. I looked at all of that, and I just tried to figure out if, you know, I'm neither pro nor con. I'm just based on what is good for Grand Bahama. I'm a Grand Bahamian. Love it. I don't care who does what in relation to, but it must affect positively Grand Bahama. Now, the $357 million that was thrown out, yeah, that could have been some good money the country could have used. But I think fundamentally looking at the long-term aspect of it, there are going to be some changes, because I did something, and I don't know if you guys may take an opportunity to do this. I actually put your story today in The Guardian into a ChatGPT format where I asked ChatGPT to come out with the pros and cons on both ends and determine, at the end of the day, who actually or Grand Bahama, Grand Bahama. And you would be surprised. I'm not going to tell you what the outcome was, but you'd be surprised, and I encourage you to...
I know what the outcome is, Colin.
Well,
you want to know what the outcome could be?
Yeah,
the outcome could be that the whole of Grand Bahama could look like West End.
Hey, and let me just share this with you. One of the key things that it came up with, and I've been very candid with it, it came up with a 50-50 split. Everything was basically, there was a 50-50 loss, 50-50 gain. So I wouldn't get into more details of it, but it was very interesting to find out what was happening. Just thought I'd just mention that and put that out there.
No, I appreciate your call. There needs to be a educational process in regards to the Hawksbill Creek Agreement. Like you mentioned before, a number of Bahamians are not understanding what it is, what the port is entitled to, what the government is entitled to. How do they coexist in one space?
Right.
We need to have
And if I may interject, and I'm going to get off the phone now. One of the things that I really realize is that, and we got to ask ourselves this question. And I've been talking to a number of persons who are not, you know, who don't know much about the Hawksbill Creek Agreement. It would appear as though that a good portion of them don't even care. They say, what that got to do with the rest of us here in the Bahamas? But they literally do not know what the Hawksbill Creek Agreement is. And all they're hearing is this was when this lost, that when this lost. But to the fundamental thing, I think that we need to be more aware of is to educate the Bahamas on how that affects them in an indirect way, because the majority of people do not even know what the Hawksbill Creek Agreement was all about.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like we're talking about something really, you know, a good 70% of the population may not even know what we're talking about.
Before you go, Carla, let's compare Freeport to West End. I got to get you there. Which one seemed to be more developed?
Well, obviously Freeport, definitely.
And why is that?
Well, I think it's about on both ends, neglect by both entities in some of the aspects of the agreement in relation to that. And I think it's consecutive governments that has a major role in that aspect as well.
So and the reason why I asked you that question is that it seems that consecutive governments have abdicated their responsibility and to the entire Grand Bahama. So when you said that a number of Bahamians are not interested or do not care or do not know about the Hawksbill Creek Agreement, is because the government has abdicated their responsibility to the Port Authority. So they say, man, I ain't care no more. This is where we at. And where we at, this nonchalance is because of successive governments.
Yeah, and I do agree with that to definitely some extent. And one of the key things also that I also must point out too is the fact that, you know, with this ruling, it actually... I'm hoping that it would make the government hold them a little bit more accountable and that the government would also perform in its outright duty that they're supposed to perform for total Grand Bahama, not just Freeport. So I'm looking at this as a total win, because, I mean, one of the things I find so strange is I can get a license as a business person in West End, 8 Mile Rock, East End, and whatnot, and in the port area, they're telling me I can't operate on the same island with a government license, mm-hmm. which the port also requires for me not only to get a port license, but also to get a government license. The Constitution should allow me to be able to operate anywhere within the Bahamas. So then why would I need to apply for a government license as well as a Port Authority license if I can't operate within the Grand Bahama Port Authority area? It's totally, totally nonsense.
Yes. I appreciate you calling. Continue to listen. Call back if you need to. I appreciate your commentary. I have this text says, gotta watch Freetown 2. The PLP took all Blair out, so it's not a strong FNM seat in Freetown. That seat will be won or lost on Kemp Road. And then you got Andrew Johnson working that Kemp Road area hard. Let's talk about Freetown. I'm giving all of Kemp Road to Blue. Andrew Johnson. All. I say that Kemp Road specifically, I think Mr. Wayne Monroe will lose the entire Kemp Road. I don't think he's doing an adequate job there. That's just me, right? I think Blue is resonating with his people. I'm calling it his people because that's where he's from. I think Deal are going to be embattled because of Andrew Johnson, right? Because the Freetown has been cut up. And the Long Islanders who live on in Blair, gone. The Long Islanders who would normally support them, gone. But at the same time, I think even though Mr. Monroe should have been ahead, right? The boundaries are cut. I think Mr. Monroe's a fight of his life. He may lose this seat. I would say you, though. It can be close. It can be close. It's one of those constituencies you sit down. You have to write the numbers and add it up and see who wins. It's not going to be an easy win for anyone there. It's not. And then, of course, the COI will get about 60 people. So they can be a spoiler again. Like I said, I don't think behemoths are appreciating how close a number of these constituency will be. You just don't know who will win. It's not no automatic, you know, for progress. It's not going to be an automatic for progress. It's going to go to the table. Whoever wants it more, who's on the ground, who's spending the money, will eventually emerge on top. Let's go to the callers again. Guardian Radio AM is open line Wednesday, but we talking about Grand Bahama. We talking about various constituencies that would be close. I mean, so close that you can't call it. That some like that. You, if you want to win, all people. All hands could be on deck. All boots will have to be on the ground. It's going to be a strong campaign in order to win because of the independent candidates, because of the COI presence, because of who the candidates are, because of what the opposition is doing. You just can't call it. I say Freetown is going to be close, just as close as Kalani. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM. Kermit, patch those right. Callers. Yeah, you're live. I can hear you now.
Yeah, pretending to Freeport, all the development, all the islands. Development of all the islands, right? The thing that see me, I as a electrician, right? See that all of the utilities, the differences or the problems are that the distribution lines, right? As well as especially the distribution lines, right? Not being in place on both sides of the road. So when they're not in place on both sides of the road through a planned infrastructure, right? You have to dig up the road. And Freeport is different. You don't have to dig across the road to create a trench. You understand what I'm saying? That's the difference of Freeport. But I put it to y'all that to us, to the behemoths, that even Freeport is kind of obsolete in a way because, see, and Freeport haven't had too much development for a long time. No new development other than what the things the government did. You understand me? And see, that's the same problem. We do our government makes decisions without proper study. We do our utilities, our development without planning. You know, my question is, where's the master plan for all the islands of the Bahamas? Nassau is kind of in a loss because to to correct the infrastructure, no, not the infrastructure, but the utilities. I don't mean the water, the telephone, and electricity. You got to dig tunnels underground. You understand me? In the roads, the main roads, the subdivision. You have to do these things. You have to properly plan. You understand what I'm saying? You have to put where all your banks are going to be. You got to kind of like break down Nassau, just deal with the infrastructure in the road. Get that right. And then you could piece by piece renovate or rebuild, break down and rebuild. You know what I'm saying? And when you do the infrastructure, you got to have, you understand what I'm saying? So we can't look at, and we like to talk, we look at Singapore, right, who has had the same government for about 60 years, I would think. Right, and then we look at Singapore, who have one party. They don't even have a party system. There's no parties. It's just a, what you call it, a elective advisory council. The seven rulers. You have seven rulers in Singapore, you know. So we can't look at these places. You understand? You agree with me?
I understand. I appreciate your passion. I think that we need to be realistic on how we view the Bahamas and where we go. Bahamas needs to be planned. I think the best and brightest of us needs to come forward. I think that we have a weak bench at this present time when everybody won't be a politician. Everybody won't be leader. And the intellectuals amongst us, the workers amongst us, the student amongst us is not rising to the top. We have some challenges ahead. Yeah, that we could be a Singapore or Dubai. We need to become realistic now and bloom where we are planted. Carmichael constituency is also going to be close. I think that Mr. Keith Bell is embattled. I think that Koma Lafe is going to challenge him to the hilt, to the end, right? It's going to be a race for the finish. I think the COI chairman can secure at least 200 votes. He's going to be a spoiler for one of those persons there. I think only Lincoln Bean will get his money back. That's what I'll say. His deposit back. I think that he will rise or increase from 10% of the vote to about 20% of the vote in Pinewood there. And I think there might be a change of who will be the representative, the standard bearer in Pinewood. But we'll talk about that too. But that's Kala Komolafe, that's Keith Bell, and that's Green, who's going to be in Carmichael. I think that's going to be close. I think that if the FNM want to win, they got to go on the ground. If the PLP want to win, they can't depend on all the theatrics that is happening. They need to be on the ground. This text, we're going to the call right now. So this text says, good morning. We were only looking for the $357 million. Grand Bahama Power Authority was obviously pushing the envelope with their counterclaim. The idea that they had counterclaims, and thank goodness that I think it was eight, and seven of them they lost. I think it was the same bend or break concept like Grand Bahama was facing before, because the Port Authority seemed to be thwarting the authority of our government regarding the trying to get their taxes and the management of the system. I acknowledge that the Constitution make way for the Port Authority to be a self-sufficient city, right, ran privately, but this is the Bahamas. And if this is the Bahamas, the government manages the Bahamas. You could be a city within a country, but no. The government of the Bahamas still rules supreme. The laws of the Bahamas and the Constitution of the Bahamas still rule supreme. So I'm glad that we went through that process. Glad that there's some kind of finality regarding that. And it needs to be hashed out. We need to have some better conversation on what it means. You can't just make a speech in Parliament and think that the Bahamian people understand the outcome. Let's go to the callers there, Kermit. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. And the numbers today are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Join me in the conversation open line Wednesday. Go ahead, caller. Call you live. Kermit, go to the next one. Go ahead, caller. You live? No? Oh, I hear you, caller. Go ahead.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well, man. How are you doing?
I'm all right. So just clarity on some points, right? The government made an assertion under this arbitration, made one assertion, and that was that the Port Authority owed about $75 million a year. The initial claim was $257 million. The government has put $75 million a year for the last 4 years inside of the budget, but they didn't put any enforcement mechanism for it. So essentially, up to the day of the judgment, the government would have won a $650 million had they won. The government made a singular claim, and they lost. Okay? Let's rest that right there. There's no win. The government didn't make these eight claims that they claim. They are now trying to tout as winning.
Let's pause there. Who made the eight claims?
The Grand Bahama Port Authority.
So they lost.
Yeah, no, but you know.
No, just could be trying to find. No, hold on. Let's go. No. Let me go back and forth. You said that the government made one claim.
Yes.
And they lost.
Yes.
And they made eight claims.
Right, but see.
No. I'm trying to go to have a conversation. No. Let's go back and forth.
Okay, let's go back and forth.
You're interrupting me. That's why I keep on saying no. Okay, I can do it again. The Grand Bahama Port Authority made eight claims. Hello?
Eight clarification requests.
And they lost?
Yes.
Okay, see, that's all I wanted you to say. Now you can continue.
No, but see, Nui, see, you know, for 23 years, I've been trying to stop people from being dumbed down about this agreement. This is not even an agreement, it's a law. And that's the problem, is we keep perpetrating instead of saying, let's tell the people, take them through the process so they can understand. This is monumental what happened. Not for the government, not for the Port Authority, for us. Okay? The eight assertions that the Grand Bahama Port Authority has made is nothing new. It has always been made by them and took whatever position they want as to ask why they did not do anything. They used the opportunity to seek clarity on these eight claims that they have. We knew about the power dispute for 10 years. That the very thing that happened in this thing is what myself and others have been telling the government already. It already exists in law that you have the authority. Why are you wasting time or like suing them? You just don't want to change it. You're afraid to. Now they don't have a choice. So these assertions that many of us on Grand Bahama always made, that these things that they said nobody could move on could be moved on by government. Well, it is proven what we have said on seven of the claims that we were right in saying that the government could have corrected these defects. Okay? Now, on the eight claims the Port Authority made, they were correct. Even we were 50% wrong on it, because we have an issue with the fact that you could come and demolish a building, attach a lien, and take the building the same way the banks are doing, and then if you dispose of the building, let's say you come and demolish a property for $5,000 from me. I got a $50,000, $100,000 building. You could take the building for the $5,000 demolishing fee, but then don't give me the difference if you sell it or sell it for whatever. These are the protections we were asking for. So technically, we were right on all things. But when you look at what has been asserted, what we got out of this is clarity on a whole lot of things that both sides said they have. The other clarity we had is that imagine that you have a government who actually thought they were still existing in 1955, when in actuality they were existing in 1994. What they said was, essentially, is the government do have a right under this agreement to have compensation for the lack or whatever that they don't collect in taxes, but you can't ask for it under the 1955 agreement. You have to ask under the 1994 agreement. So they basically say to you, you know, Mr. Nuri, that claim you made is garbage. But you know you have another law that you could claim under, but it's not going to give you the position you have. So the point of this is that I want us to stop allowing us to be gaslighted on this document that is so powerful on the way we go forward on our national development, that if we allow them to gaslight us, they will retain the chaos for which they govern.
Okay.
And fix it by saying, hey, guys, you can't smoke us. In fact, why don't you do this? Why don't you release all the documents beginning from when this was filed and let us know the arguments you made and the supporting documents on both sides, and then release all the other documents that you've hidden for 25 years, like the McKinsey report and all these other studies you've done that have given you advice. We spend millions of dollars on these reports about the Grand Bahama Port Authority. But now that we are where we are, put everything on the table, and let's have a conversation about national development rather than the political back and forth where we choose sides and continue to get gaslight and smoke blown up our whatever. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Sea Island's always passionate. It definitely knows a lot of knowledge about Grand Bahama and what's the issues going there. The government needs to put boots on the ground in Grand Bahama. Just talking about Grand Bahama, at this present time, they have five constituencies in Grand Bahama. To me, Okay. To me, at this present time, the PLP is poised to secure two of those seats. I think there's six now. They're considering Bimini as the sixth Grand Bahamian seat. So the PLP is three out of the six. However, definitely one is embattled. So let me just repeat that so people can understand. There are six seats now in Grand Bahama. I'm saying that the FNM will definitely secure three out of that six. There are three more that that the PLP may secure. And out of the three that the PLP may secure, one of the seats are embattled that can go anyway. And I think that it's going to have to take a lot of campaigning there for if the PLP won't win it, to win, right? And so we'll see how that goes. The phone lines are lit. I'm going to read this text and go straight to the phone line. This person is complaining about a speed bump. No, some kind of tree in the middle of the road on Shirley Street. So there is a speed bump, in inverted commas. I will call it a speed bump on Shirley Street. It seems not to be a bump. I don't know if it's a root that is growing, going across the street. It's right by the Catholic Church on Shirley Street. You literally have to come to a complete stop in order to go over this hump or bump. Whatever is going across the street, can the right people from the Ministry of Works go ahead and take a look at that, please? And I'm just reading that because the texter wanted me to read it, right? Say by the Catholic Church, there's something going across the street underground that is prohibiting traffic flow. So if someone can what they're talking about, I'm sure the texter will be appreciative of that. Let's go to the callers again. Guardian Radio AM, your live's open line Wednesday. We're talking about what you want to talk about, but I'm talking about constituencies, and if you want to talk about Grand Bahama, you could talk about Grand Bahama.
Yeah, good morning, buddy.
Good morning, man. How you doing?
All is well. Yeah, well, I would first commend the Prime Minister for taking a stand, for that Grand Bahama Port Authority, first and foremost. And then I hear you talking about the COI and deposit. Let me tell you something, my friend. The COI can gain plenty of votes in this country this election. Plenty. You understand me? Plenty. We can say what we want to say. They're gonna get plenty with this election. I think the PLP is going to still pull off the election, but they're going to get plenty of votes in this country. Most of them get a deposit. Some of them get, it can be more than one or two get a deposit back. I can tell you that much.
It ain't going to be that many. Maybe two.
No matter.
Dr. It's MacGyver like, may get her money back, and Lincoln Bean might get his money back. Everything else, I just appreciate their deposit. They can help the economy.
Well, they can get more than that. What are you thinking? What are you thinking, Lord Abaco? Ty, if you see the, if they see them and cut that boundary and take our Dundas town out of Lord Abaco, Ty was going with that seat. I think he'll still be able to pull it off also because Abaco have a different culture of people. I mean, they ain't checking with us with the dang, but they just want to see places looking at.
You listening, caller?
Yeah, go ahead.
Everybody in Abaco is Haitian, even the white people. Everybody in Abaco is Haitian, even the Conky Joes. Yeah, I don't know where Kai think he won't go, but he ain't going no place.
Hey,
I hope I help you there so you don't make this mistake and call another talk show talking foolishness, caller. I helping you. God bless you.
Kai came out there last election with 719 votes. Last election. Check the record. I've been in Abaco frequent now. Every month I spend like a week and a half in Abaco. And let me tell you something. The strongest candidate I've seen my whole life in the Bahamas, might be in the Bahamas, I would 8 times already. Kai moving with 100 plus persons on his door to door. I see this myself. I'm a PLP. You understand me? And I see this myself. I can call it. I see it. You understand me? I don't be just talking when people say this. I have the opportunity to travel through this whole family island and see what's going on in this country.
I hear you, caller. You're mistaken.
But trust me on that.
Caller, I can tell you this. In the last 4 years, hundreds of people graduate from that Abaco school there. Those two Abaco schools there. And I know I know who go to those schools. I know who go to those schools and who prepare the vote.
Who you think is going to win that seat in North Abaco?
It ain't going to be Kai. I just tell you who ain't going to be.
I'm just saying, who you think is going to win it?
It ain't going to be Kai. It ain't going to be Kai. That's what I'm saying.
If it ain't Kai, you can go right back to the corners.
Lord, we got to fast and pray.
What's going to happen? Let me tell you what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
media was going to happen. Everything in Kai, okay? Media was going to happen. They claim that all Haitians are PLP, right? You just see, Abigail have all Haitians. All right? You have Forbes running down there also. Forbes is a very strong candidate down there, independent candidate down there also. He's going to split the FNM votes. PLP going to vote PLP. Now, the FNM is going to split between Forbes and Ms. Bulanga. All right? Trust me on that when I tell you that.
So you now know the outcome. Thank you very much,
Gordon. We talk on Facebook also. You should know me, man.
Blessings.
Take care, my friend.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let's go to the next caller there. Say, Kai can get his money back. Not in this Bahamas. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM. You're live. Let's move on to the next caller there, Kermit. Guardian Radio AM. You're live. No, let's clear all the boards now. Guardian Radio AM, you're live. No, that's not a clear line. Go to the next one again. Guardian Radio AM, you're live.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Nui.
Good morning to you.
Yeah, you know, the conversation is interesting. Like the last caller, right? I mean, even if you don't like the PM, we should all, I mean, I'm glad that he's challenged this Grand Bahama Port Authority that seems to be immutable, infallible, or whatever, right? And so I'm very ignorant. I'm just hearing about this, what they call it, the McKinsey report, right? You know, I think Aaron had mentioned some time back it's about 3,000 pages, et cetera, et cetera. The question then I ask, of the 300,000 pages on the clinical trials of the vaccines that people put into their body, did anyone read 1,000 pages? I did. So once it's 3,000 pages, it is designed for obscurity. And I like what C. Allen said. And the lady that comes on with Dwight, Laverne. Mm-hmm. Laverne said they would probably do a series in which they would read and educate the human people, and so that's because of Pine. So I'm waiting to hear from Lang. Really, I'm really ecstatic to hear from Lang because I am very ignorant about these I mean, I know about the Hawks Creek Agreement from, you know, just basically school and social studies and reading up on it. And so the Hawks Creek Agreement has ended up into a disagreement. So we can't be angry if the PM is challenging this type of authoritarian type actions by the Grand Bahama Port Authority. And so for me, I'm not vexed at that, but what I'm seeing is there is some insincerity in his speech as the people collectively involved in siding with him in his decision. And so the insincerity also lies in the way they spend the taxpayers' money. He's not concerned about that because they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. So it's kind of like I wouldn't call it gaslighting, but it's insincere for me because you're not really interested in the taxpayers' money because the way the country is actually running. And then you turn around and made a joke, said all about Abacosation. You know, that's not a good thing to say on the radio either because
I know them people.
Yeah, but I mean, but what I'm saying is, it's still disparaging. It's not
disparaging. What do you have against Haitian?
It's not innocuous because what I'm saying is, it doesn't bode well in that. It seems that you're taking it for a joke.
That's not a joke. I didn't laugh then.
It's not a joke.
I was serious. No. I wrote an article. Hold on. I wrote an entire article. 506. Because I wrote it about 15.
It was in the Guardian, CA?
No, it's about 15 years ago. I published it where I wrote, all of Abaco is Haitian. Even the Conky Joes. If you Google it. Let me finish this point. If you Google it, it should still show up on it because I had to send it to University of Miami or regarding that. It was one of those spoof articles, but I wrote it and I got a lot of feedback on it.
I want to say something before I leave this in the scenery. I learned a lot from Laverne and Dwight this morning. You know, like I said, I'm very ignorant as it relates to the Oxford Agreement because if it's 3,000 pages and C. Allen is asking for exposure on these different documents, etc. Obviously, there's a lot to be read before you opine. And opining in ignorance is not really opining. It's visceral BS. So for me, I know that when I was a young man, I had a summer job at a farm. The gentleman who owned the farm was a friend of my old man. He was a white man, and I wouldn't call his name, but the suffix of his name ended in goal. And the beginning started with F, right? So what I'm saying is he had a bonded vehicle. And I remember it vividly, a bonded vehicle. So I don't know where he was allowed to all ride it, but it was obviously in the class, in the Cowpen Road area, et cetera, et cetera. But it was a bonded vehicle here. So could someone explain that to me? That's what I'm saying. I saw bonded vehicles here in Nassau as a young man. I'll hang up and listen here.
Well, the bonded vehicles are vehicles that are supposed to be driven in the compounds of Freeport. I've seen Freeport bonded vehicles right here in Nassau driving on the road. How it happened, it's just like how anything happens in the Bahamas. He just casts a blind eye. Bonded vehicles is something that is not licensed to be on the, quote, government road. But it's the Bahamas. Things is things. You know? It is what it is. It is what it is. We have one more caller there. Just connect to that caller. Guardian Radio AM. This is C.A. Nuri. Go ahead, caller. That nobody's on the line? We clear the line? Okay, let's get a line. I have a text here that says that Bimini is no longer a part of Grand Bahama. Smart guy. Again, this person is throwing shade when I mentioned that Grand Bahama now has 6 seats. And I mentioned that recently they developed a new seat. It's called Bimini. And that's now a part of that Grand Bahama list of seats that makes it 6. I still maintain that. I don't look at Bimini as being an open island by themselves. I look at that as an extension of Grand Bahama. It's like how is Western and Bimini. It's now Bimini that makes 6 seats to me. That's my interpretation of Grand Bahama now. So I still maintain that. And I see the call of throwing shade that I'm misinformed, but that's how I see it. That's 6 seats of Grand Bahama. Seeing people. They had a great migration after the sponging industry crisis, and the people from down south immigrated from south to Grand Bahama and Bimini. Grand Bahama and Bimini has 2 twin islands there. So I have that same set of people. Even part of Abaco, the northern part of Abaco, I would consider that as part of Grand Bahama too. Same type people. Let's read this text. It says, where am I going next? There's several texts here. The same thing would happen to Perry Christie in 2017 in Farm Road. It will happen to Philip, a stranger off the True Davis in Kent Island. Still waiting to hear the deputy leader of the coalition song play on your show. What's up with that? The song plays before my show. I think she might even be a sponsor. But I hear the song all the time and I say, that's a good song she has. I can't wait to have a show about political songs. It's a really good song. Dr. MacGyver House. Okay, put a fork in it, over and done. I have heard too many PLP supporters saying that they are not voting, they are staying home. So, Bahamas, let's get ready for the incoming Prime Minister of the Bahamas, the leader of the official opposition, Mr. Michael C. Pintad. That's what the text says. This next text says, 15 years ago, so are you saying all of them white Negroes in Abaco is Haitian, but they say former Prime Minister Ingram is from Abaco. Is he a Haitian also? I still maintain, if you got a read between the lines, all of Abaco, I consider Haitian. They are being influenced. They eat griot. They don't have to be nationality Haitian to be Haitian in them. You have the culture. The culture of Haiti is strong in Abaco. Everybody in Abaco likes pickles. Everybody in Abaco likes a griot. Everyone in Abaco likes that banana and that flat half-ripe banana. It is what it is. It's part of the culture. It's a new type of Bahamas there, right? Anyway, we're going to take a quick break here. We continue in our open-line Wednesday. We still have close seats and independent candidates. We'll be right back.
Call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Rona. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no.
for posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Let's go to the text line. CA, it's funny how behemoths think doing the same thing over and over again will get a better result. This government is stealing land, SWF, I guess that's Sovereign Wealth Fund, and VAT money every day, spending, borrowing, and sticking us with the bill, and not paying a single civilian back a red cent, but you all still have faith in them after 52 years of slavery. That's what that text says. C. Allen is only speaking the truth about the government's court loss in Grand Bahama because he wants the FNM to win, but everyone forgets that this is about Bahamians winning, not party colors and T-shirts. Everyone needs to put egos aside and stand together. It's time for change. This next text says, not one Bahamian will ever see a dry cent from that court order in Grand Bahama. Can this government firmly say they have done anything significant for Bahamians and not imposters Bahamians? CA, next text says, CA, you would be surprised how many Haitians that live in Abaco that are against this Haitian invasion, especially those ones that came the right way and those who are assimilated into our community. But what do we expect? Your loyalty is not Bahamian. Wonder why? Okay. Stack says, good morning, CA. If the PLP wins it, can only be God allowed it because I can't see them winning. They might get 7 seats, if any. Thanks for reading my text. Of course I can read your text. Let's see what this is. What we would do with $350 million? With inflation, that should be the price for a new Mission Impossible James Bond car for the PM. I see where you get the joke there. The caller is the new Anton. this text says, it is really quite simple for me and should be for all right-thinking Bahamians. While there is no doubt that there are some changes needed, no matter how good or bad the Grand Bahama Port Authority has been, when we look at Freeport, there is nothing else other than the gated neighborhood or two that compares to what it looks like compared to anywhere else in the Bahamas. The Bahamas that successful government have been responsible for close to 60 years. I guess this text is saying, man, if you let the government be in charge of Grand Bahama, it ain't going to be pretty good. Say, what about Southern Shores? I think Southern Shores would be close. What that the lady who's do the dead people name? Penn? I think Penn has a good chance of claiming that. Like I said, there's a number of close races happening in the Bahamas that I believe the Bahamian people need to pay close attention to. I think on D-Day, the election day, I think all eyes would be glued to the TV. I think everybody's going to be involved. This is time which, yes, we all need to register. We all need to participate because this is going to be the new direction or the future direction of the Bahamas. So this is no time to be sitting on the sideline and grumbling. No time to be going on to the beach. You have to, no matter what, go and register to vote and participate. Even if you haven't got to vote for COI, you mark your X and that number will register and will speak resoundingly to the powers that be if you support the COI, especially if their numbers are high. That means the government, whoever the government is, will have to respond in kind if they see that large portions of the Bahamas are now supporting people like the COI. That will send shockwaves throughout the Bahamas. CA, did you see the story or read the story where a lady was charged for starving and assaulting her husband, or stabbing, I guess, and assaulting her husband with a baseball bat? Because she said she went through his cell phone and found out that he was cheating on her and the judge let her go? Let's continue. So, you know, if that was a man, went to his wife's cell phone and find out she was cheating on him, and he stabbed her and assaulted her on a baseball bat, the judge was not going to let him go free. What's up with that? What do you think about that? I believe that good man realized what he put his wife through, and he threw himself on the mercy of the court and say, "Judge, I know that woman stabbed me and beat me with a bat, but I love her. I did that woman wrong. I deserve to get juked up. I deserve to get squat in my head." And judge, and the judge being a good Shaka Seville, judge realizing what faulty and faults of man, and realizing that this man was wrong for what he did to his good wife, and the wife acted out of frustration, and say, "Miss, you did the same thing with Christ. Tell that woman, go and sin no more, woman. Go and sin no more." And that caller, I mean texter, I believe that's what happened. I believe the judge said, "Go and sin no more." CA, is Dwight Strong taking over from Latrae as the next press secretary? It might be a pay increase. If it's a pay increase, I say offer Dwight it. Make more room for me. I hear Dwight makes some good money and I need to make more money. So hey, if Dwight won't take that job and they make more space for me to give me some more money, I say let him go. Let him go and give me opportunity, eh? God is good. So this texter says, "Good morning, Mr. Nuri. Tell that caller he is talking garbage. There is no way Kai would win. The race is between Cornish and Boodle. He lied about the amount of supporters traveling with Kai. Kai loves to share on his Facebook page. I asked him to share it. It's laughable. People are questioning the numbers of people you claim is supporting Kai Mills there." So that's how that text go, right? I'm reading another bad news. Someone died in my family. Oh, gosh. Anyway, I'll reach out to my family. Condolences. Of late, I lost about, this week, 4 people who I knew growing up. And when I say knew growing up, I'm not talking about people 60, 70 years old. I'm talking people midlife, under 50. They transitioned. We are living in some trying times, some sickly times, when a number of us is battling some illnesses, and we're not taking care of ourselves as best as we should. We need to do our annual checkups and physicals as best as we could. A lot of people have this diabetes grabbing hold of this Bahamas and beating us Bahamians badly, all right? Sugar is a serious thing. And now I'm learning there's so much different types of sugar. There's type 1, type 1.5, type 2, type 3. I'm not even sure there's a type 4. Type 3, I think they're saying that's what that is now. When you start forgetting sugar in the brain, right? And type 1.5 is when you're born with it and some of the organs no longer work. Type 2 is what the majority of Bahamians have, with bad eating habits. They're causing a number of us have losing the kidney failure and liver and whatever it is. And of course, type 1 is kids and young people. They're different ages now who develop it over time. But I just want Bahamians to take care of themselves. This has been Guardian Radio AM. Again, my name is T.A. Nuri. With me, have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.